AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Exhausted after a tiresome week. Matt, Brett. Hey, Brett. Hey, by the way, I had two messages yesterday from friends. We talked about this yesterday on the show. We got the iTunes working back again. And the Matt McNeil Show, you can go and find the Matt McNeil Show page on iTunes via our webpage, am950radio.com, via the SoundCloud. It's there. You can subscribe. You got the podcast back. Beautiful. You know, and it's kind of one of the things. We have great programming all day here, but some people wanted just Mike McAnee's show. Some people wanted my show. We've got that all fixed up. Got two people that commented yesterday how glad they are about that. They didn't know that, and they're very happy to. We have got it all set up, a brand new SoundCloud page. About the best way to do it would probably be go to AM950 Radio and go to the individual pages, right?
Yeah, if you go to the individual page, then, as you said, you can subscribe to it via iTunes or you can do Google Play,
Android. Yeah.
We're working on Stitcher. That one's a little bit more of a pain to set up.
Here you go. There's a thing called Stitcher. What the hell is that, man? I guess that Google Play is in there, is right? Is
yep,
that right?
Google Play is in there. Or if you want to go old school and just get an email every time we upload an episode, that as well.
You know, this is the reason why you are hearing the reason why we failed horribly with our weekend show, Matt's Tech Corner. You know, there's an on switch? Wow! Look at that! I want to ask you quickly, Brett, if you've heard the term that's outside of your pay grade. Have you ever heard that term?
Yeah, I've heard that term before.
All right. It's. Do you feel as if I were to say, I'll tell you what, say I came to you with a problem, and it's like, and we realize this is a much larger problem. If I said to you, oh, I mean, this is clearly out of your pay grade. I'll have to go talk to someone else about this. Would you be offended by me saying that?
Not necessarily offended. I mean, the only time I hear that is when someone says that about themselves, saying, you know, this is above my pay grade. Yeah. And they say that type of thing.
Maybe it's because of the military. I said that in the military. When we were there, because that's outside of your pay grade. And it's like all of a sudden, it's like you would get a job or a task in the Army, you know, and all of a sudden they would start and realize, oh, this is a much larger job than it is, and this is outside of our pay grade. And it's not a derogatory term, although today I got to be the jerk. So from the holidays, one of my daughters, got a gift card to Garage. Do you know what Garage is?
I do not know.
It's yeah. Once again, another failed weekend show. Matt's Fashion Corner, also horrible.
Maybe if we combine that with Tech Corner, we'll have a show.
There's a zipper on that? Wow! Matt's Fashion Corner failed miserably because I didn't understand the complexities of Canadian fashion, as Garage is it's basically a fashion chain out of Canada. They have one store over at the Mall America, and my one daughter likes it, and that's cool. I mean, she likes it there. I mean, they are big on the midriffs this year, or the crop. They call them crop tops. We call them mildriffs, you know, as like, you know, we used to call the mullets the yep, nope. And so you got the crop tops here, they're big, but I won't let her buy one of those because I'm her dad, and for God's sakes, I'm aging fast enough as it is. But we go in there and they have a lot of great stuff. And by the way, Canada, crop tops, really? Really? That's, you guys are wearing crop tops? I don't think so. It's Canada. I've been there. It's cold. So I'm in there and we have the gift card. Now, this is, of course, something that's played out. We fixed most of these problems with gift cards. I think the biggest problem most people have with a gift card from the holidays generally is you have only 17 hours to use it. You know, that sort of thing. This wasn't the problem, but apparently... And I don't want to get into the Garage IT department. Clearly, that is one of the dumbest run companies as far as IT and finance I've ever seen. That thing is a mess. Anyway, I get to the store. We have a computer printout because, God forbid, we actually had a gift card get mailed to us. They don't do that anymore. Heaven forbid you want to have a hard copy. No, everything has to be digital because, you know, I love being completely and totally clueless in a blackout. So they send us an email with this thing. So we print it out. We bring it over to the store. And so here it is. I want to buy this, you know, floofy, you know, sweatshirt for my daughter. She's there. She wants to cash in this gift card thing. But we only have this printout. And what proceeds is 30 minutes of my life I will not get back, as I have three different people at the register sort of look at me, it not working. And I'm like, okay, all right. And it, and clearly by the time the second woman was there, and it's the second woman, and whoever your name is, I truly am sorry, because you really took, when I said, well, this is clearly above your pay grade, so I'll you know, have to, you know, go to someone else. And what I meant was this. This is clearly, you are a retail store at the Mall of Freaking America. You are not running the IT department, the finance department, the gift card department out of the back. You're not. And that is not an insult. It's just more, I'm trying to save you time by saying, you know, acknowledging, oh, this is clearly not going to be something you can handle. So, yeah, we'll have to do this on a different level. I'll have to go, you know, and go back up online and do it there. All of a sudden, I was a Dyna guy. I mean, oh, yeah. And this is, you see how I'm dressed right now. Sweatshirt, Rush t-shirt. You know, I'm not exactly, I mean, I know I'm conveying a little bit of upper class snuff here, you know. I'm my pants are now zipped. Okay, sorry. All right. Pants are now zipped. Like I said, classy. But yet, she took this as, here's another one of these uptight, you know, suburban wealthy people who's sitting here down talking to us, the working man. And she stormed off and she was furious. I don't know where you go in the garage. I would say, well, you know, the garage, but I mean, it's, yeah. Anyway, I did try my best to apologize. She didn't want anything to do. She was already, I mean, it was 10:20. It was already the worst day she's had in a long time. Yeah, you're welcome. You are welcome. Get ready to do some folding of shirts, because you're going to be doing that a lot today. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it in a mean way. I just meant it as, you know, clearly this is beyond, you know, your retail store. I'm not expecting you to whip out the IT department there. And, oh, yeah, here's your gift card problem right here. You know, no, I'm not expecting that. I didn't mean it maliciously or mean intention. I didn't mean it like that. Can I get back into Canada again? I like Canada. It's nice. It's a good country. I like that guy. I mean, you know, things keep going the way they are here. I mean, I'm heading north, you know. But I don't want to upset you, but at the same time, wow. I mean, that was a storming off. That was a storming off. Way I said it there, I mean, and that really is how it was said. Do you hear any mullet meanness?
No, I just haven't heard that often, other than people saying it about themselves. But yeah, I get where you're coming from.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. That's beyond my pay grade.
Yeah, saying, oh, I can't deal with that. It's above my pay. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm sorry, garage retail person. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you feel bad. I didn't mean to make you feel horrible. I'm really, really, really sorry. I appreciate the fact that you guys, for 30 minutes, tried to figure out this problem, which we did not figure out. I appreciate that. But at no point did I mean to make it seem like, hey, I've worked retail. You worked retail? You ever have to work retail?
Oh, I've worked high school, college.
Yeah. Oh, God.
The guy pulling in the cart at 9:55 at Walgreens. Yeah, no. Don't grab a cart at 9:55.
I've done that too. So I do feel bad about that. You know what I don't feel bad about? Whiny Washington Post reporters. Did you see this Monica Hesse story out of the Post? She's it's not just Minnesota she's ripping on, but can I just say, you guys on the East Coast really need to have someone not in your newsroom proofread some of your crap, whether it's, you know, it's, you know, the grape salad, or, you know, we all love pot belly in town, or these things. You guys keep talking out your butts about the Minnesota, and you don't seem to have any damn idea about what we are. And she's very upset. She's very angry. And the reason why is it's cold in Washington, D.C. And basically what she wants to tell everyone who's from a more northern place than Washington, D.C., shut up. Basically, we get it. You're used to this. We're not. But did you trash talk Washington, D.C.? I didn't trash talk Washington, D.C. Brett, did you badmouth Washington, D.C.?
I did not.
I mean, we badmouthed Trump. But, I mean, I don't – unless his powers are greater than I know, he is not responsible for the snow. Good morning. Washington metropolitan area, you've woken in your eighth day of being very cold, which means you are originally from a place accustomed to lower temperatures. New Hampshire, say, or Ely, Minnesota, you're in your eighth day of pompously explaining how to use your ice pick the way the on the way to the office while riding a carcass of a frozen walrus. And you know what? Just stuff it. Okay. Can I just, I want to make, Monica. All right. I get it. You don't like cold weather. All right. You wrote an article where the entire point was how frustrated you are about cold weather. And that people like myself and Brett and you, Hunter, and the rest of us here at AM 950 who, or in Minnesota, who live here, who are not warm. I don't know about you. The other day when it was what, minus 14 or 15 when I went outside that morning, I was chilly. I had my ice fishing full gear on, had the goggles, everything on. I was frozen. And I just went a block with my dog, and I was like, okay, we're back. My dog was like, okay, we're done. And so, I mean, we it's not like we're out rolling around naked into snowbanks, although it does make for some very interesting snow angels. We are not doing that. It's cold. We get that. We understand that. It's cold for you. And I've had friends that have come out here to Minnesota who will look at you and you'll say, oh, well, it snowed earlier today. And they'll look around. It's like, well, where did all your snow go? So, well, we plowed it. We moved it. It's like, and they're flabbergasted. They can't believe that you moved all the snow. Yeah, that's how you kind of live up here. You have to. But we're not asking you to live here. You live in Washington, D.C. And from my understanding, this and as much as you guys like to market this whole thing as the bomb cyclone, isn't it? What is it called? This bomb cyclone?
Bomba cyclone, something crazy.
Palombo. Columbo, I don't know what they're, it's cold. I get it. You're not used to that. It's a pretty extraordinary storm, but you being frustrated because it's cold in Washington, D.C. doesn't mean you have to be a jackass to everyone else. Just because you see people who somewhat know what the hell they're doing in colder weather doesn't mean we're your enemy. Doesn't mean we're the bad guy. It just means you're kind of a jerk. Okay. And can I just say this? You are in complete control of your destiny. You can go anywhere you want. Move to Miami, you idiot. If it's that miserable for you in Washington, D.C., then move to Miami and be happy. Or move to Phoenix. They never snow in Phoenix, for God's sakes. You'll be as happy as a clam. Enjoy yourself. Bon appetit. But, I mean, this whole argument that you're just frustrated because there seems to be people that the cold doesn't bother as much, that there are people that wake up on a winter's day and don't just spend the day screaming Effenheimers all up and down the street all day long, that annoys you. Just shut up, you arrogant twit. My God. You know, this is how you get these people in conservative areas out in the rural parts of the state saying, you know, there's limousine liberals and stuff like that. And just, you look like, you look, act like you've been there, for God's sakes. And, you know, I'm not asking you to love it. I don't love it sometimes. Go out into a car that, you know, I love when we get down this cold and you get in the car and you drive down the street. And everything on the car is still frozen solid. The shocks, the tires, the springs, the seat. It's like you're in a jalopy from the 1920s going down the street. And it's, of course, like you're on a frozen ice block jalopy as you're going down the street. Yeah, no one likes it. But at least I'm not sitting here taking it out on everyone else. And you know why? Because Minnesota kicks ass. That's why. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Rise of the Trolls when we do return. Plus, coming up in here a little bit later on, we have Klaus Bergman is going to be joining us. Scandinavians in the State House, a story about Minnesotan Nordic immigrants and how they shape Minnesota politics. That book, we'll talk about that in a bit. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to find that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion offers more appliance brands than any other, and our passionate specialists are motivated to impress you so much that you will refer Warner Stellion to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around, check us out online, and when it's your time to buy new appliances, join nearly 300 Minnesotans and choose the appliance specialist, Warner Stellion.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive in New Brighton. I've been in business long enough to know that if you want to stand out, you better be the best. That's why I've assembled a top-notch team of automotive specialists who do the job right the first time. Bringing your car or truck to PJW Automotive is an investment in the future of your vehicle. Try us once and you'll see it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I'm garage clerk working at the Mall of America Garage. I'm sorry. I feel bad. I mean, I started her day off great. Just great.
You're a limousine liberal from Edina. Yeah, this proves it. Elitist.
Elitist. Highbrow. Yeah, that's right. Pardon me while I scratch my caboose. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I mean, seriously, this is exactly how I was dressed when you saw I was there, Brett. You can see it if you're watching us on the live feed. You can go to AM 950 Radio on the Facebook page. You can watch the show if you so desire. You see anything here that says anything more than coat check guy over at a VFW? You know? Not really.
I'm getting the hooligan from Hopkins type look.
Yeah, there you go.
If I'm looking at it from an Edina perspective.
And trust me, there are signs that they've got up. 952-946-6205. So I actually got a post up there on the Progressive Citizen X blog about a fascinating phenomenon. Fascinating. That happens now within the age of Trump. And I've really started to actually to study this because we have to understand something. Not only when you had people screaming about Hillary Clinton is Satan from the right, you had people on the left who were Hillary Clinton is Satan, who were also, these people were being manipulated by Russian social media. And it was blowing my mind to hear people saying, she is the devil incarnate. It's like, what, do you want to kill her? How dare you think the woman I called the devil incarnate, who's going to bring hellfire upon earth, how dare you think I want anything evil to happen to her? And you've got this, you had a control. I mean, there was clearly a control of American society that was garnered via our social media networks or Twitter and Facebook that we have to wake up from, that we have to look at and we have to pull ourselves back from and say, there are a lot of people out there because nothing, it's not like there was a finish line. These people are still out there. And I've got proof of that in what has happened on my social media pages and Facebook and then on the Twitter page just since the story broke about Michael Wolff's phenomenal book, Fire and Fury, about the inside destruction of the White House via the President Trump. The 6:30 bedtime cheeseburger. Oh, boy. You know, when I'm getting into bed, nothing I like more than a cheeseburger.
That's 2 hours from 6:30 their time. You might be getting ready for bed right now.
Yeah,
ordering up those cheeseburgers.
And how about that? He goes to bed at 6:30 with cheeseburgers. You dude are one weird cat, man. I can just say you are one weird guy. But this is a guy that grew up in wealth, who grew up and he never had to grow up. And that's the thing, is he never had to grow up. And so that book is hilarious. Well, all of a sudden the excerpts start coming out. And not just the goofy stuff. But I mean, really, I mean, there are some damning stuff in there that really kind of is going to be stuff that's pulled into the obstruction of justice, the collusion, and if treason charges ever do get filed, actual treason charges. There's fire there. So all of a sudden up on social media, and it is truly remarkable, all of a sudden I start getting these trolls. And they first of all, most of them have got to be Russian. Their English is, they clearly, a lot of their posts are so bad. And don't get me wrong, I can believe that some of these guys from America would post insanely bad grammar in this. But it reads much more like it's gone through a translator, you know what I mean? It reads like it's gone through a translator. The images for their social, the profile pictures of these guys generally run in the category of, at least this latest group, it's all older white people in America, or supposedly in America. And the men are all on like a cabin porch with a dog and an ATV. And as a matter of fact, the ATV is what really started keying me off. Okay, something's going on here. Because it was like five of these guys had ATVs in their profile pictures. I'm like, are you a gang? What? You roaming the forest? What is going on here? Seems a little weird. The women, their profile images, generally it's a woman with looks like a grandkid by a lake. And they're all the same picture. And then you go look at their profiles. And either they haven't posted anything, there's no tweet, there's no link, there's no there, like on Twitter. Or on Facebook, it's like one picture of the American flag, one picture of a soldier, and that's it. And then all their friends have the same exact kind of profile images. It's weird. And all of them fall within one of the four categories. One, how dare you talk bad about Trump? Two, why don't you leave the country? Three, why don't we talk bad about Hillary because she's the real bad person? Or four, he's the greatest people. Why aren't you agreeing with the vast majority of Americans that he's phenomenal? It's in one of those categories. The vast majority of Americans. Wow, really? Really? No one's buying that. But this is this, and they all come in and they all have the same cover story. Oh, I was just happening by your page. Like, I was just strolling down the street. No, you weren't. All you guys. It's like, also, okay, so say you own a hardware store, and all of a sudden one day you look up and there's 100 people in your hardware store, and all of them in unison say, we were just walking down the street. We just started to poke our head in there. Would you buy that? I don't think you'd buy that. It'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? Like, it'd be coordinated.
I am American named Scott Smith, or some basic name.
Well, it's not. Well, the earlier stuff was, there was a lot of comrade stuff in that.
Oh,
there was. But the stuff today, it's like, you Americans don't like great man Trump. What? try to get a better translator. How about that? Like, get a better translator. They're on the market. You can get those. I had this happen after the inauguration fiasco. I had this happen after James Comey got fired. I had this happen after Mueller got announced as special counsel. I had this happen when Manafort and Papadopoulos were basically indicted and Papadopoulos pled guilty. When Flynn pled guilty, I've had these people all of a sudden, I was just strolling by your store. I am, if you have a question nowadays, I want to give you a bit of advice. If you have a question on whether or not someone is real, just get rid of them. And the reason why is that we are screwed as a country. We are screwed as a country because of fake foreign entities that infiltrated our country. There is no point in trying to communicate with these people. Their whole job is to basically derail any conversation about what the hell's going on in this country. There's no point in debating these people. They're belligerent. Just do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. If you have a suspicion that someone might not be really who they are, just block them right away. Because I can tell you one thing that these Europeans and these Russians, they're not prepared for is to have to actually study what it's like to be an American, because then they can't have 50 profiles. They can only have one or two. and then they have to cultivate them, and they have to bring them. And that's more work than they want to do. By shutting down the obvious trolls, well, guess what? You're going to actually do us a favor as Americans, because we'll start shutting these people out, because clearly Facebook and Twitter aren't going to do crap to stop these people. Let's get Gare Bear in here really quick. Speaking of reality, Gary from Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gary.
See, Matt, you know, when Obama became president and all these new non-European immigrants intensified the survey that came over your station last week, and I'm going to tell you what the survey showed. That these voters that don't believe in government spending for, you know, for social things that help people out, that kind of type of government spending, which we fight for, they all have three things that are the same. One, they identify as Republicans. Two, they identify as conservative. And three, they're very heavy into racial type thinking.
Yeah. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate it. Oh, Mr. Gear. Yeah, no, there's a lot of that out there. As a matter of fact, one of these days we're going to get into Fox News, because I actually think there should be a full investigation now into Fox News, because I don't, they're actually doing at this point so much damage to this country, it's not even funny. 952-946-6205. Klaus Bergman is going to join us. Scandinavians in the State House, How Nordic Immigrants Shaped Minnesota Politics. That book is out right now from Minnesota Historical Society Press. We'll talk to him when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
One Voice Mixed Chorus, Minnesota's LGBTA chorus, returns to the Ordway Concert Hall for Sanctuary, an unforgettable evening of choral music celebrating the music of immigrants who make Minnesota home, including Scandinavian, German, Irish, Mexican, Hmong, and Somali. One Voice will also perform You Will Be Found for Broadway's Dear Evan Hansen and I Come From Good People. That's at the Ordway Concert Hall Friday, January 19th and Sunday, January 21st. Call 651-224-4222 or check out onevoicemn.org for tickets today.
Hey, it's Mike McEntee. I'm taking a few days off, but never fear, we still have a great show for you at 4 p.m. Ellie Krug will be filling in for me. You know her as the voice of Hidden Edges Radio, which you can hear on the weekends on AM 950. Ellie will have great guests, the latest news, and we'll be taking your calls from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. So listen in to the Mike McEntee Show with guest host Ellie Krug at 4 p.m. on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hello, I'm Dr. Vladimir von Surikov, the director and president of the Museum of Russian Art, which hosts the finest collection of Russian art in North America, as well as an award-winning gift shop, Izba. Unique gifts, artworks, and artisan-made products are sourced from artists and jewelers who use traditional Russian materials to create stunning pieces for purchase. Izba Gift Shop is on Facebook and Instagram. Our museum is at tmora.org. Visit Izba Gift Shop for that special gift you will cherish.
While shopping for a fireplace insert at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, I was amazed at all the choices. Not just gas, electric, or wood-burning, but also built-in or freestanding, and options in every style from antique to modern. The staff really listened to us, explained the options, and helped us choose a fireplace we absolutely love. Now it warms our hearts and our home every winter. Thank you, Woodland Stoves, for a great addition.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, putting in a word for the EPA Burn Wise campaign. It has important information about clean burning fireplaces. This is an important part of our mission at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. We know that the fireplace has to work. Work with your life, work with your living space, and also be environmentally smart. Come see us. Learn to burn wise. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Visit our store in person or online at woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 3. Tonight, clear with a low of 13 below. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high near 10. And Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high around 28. Eat Local Minnesota is a great way to find locally owned Minnesota restaurants. They feature high-quality food and unique eating experiences. Some of those Eat Local Minnesota restaurants include Lowry Hill Meats, Mazopia, and Milda's Cafe. Find a full list of all those Eat Local Minnesota restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Indeed, all the restaurants being featured this week with the New Year's Week at eatlocalminnesota.com. Great local restaurants, made them locally sourced. You get a great local meal and the money stays local. Eatlocalminnesota.com. Scandinavians in the State House, How Nordic Immigrants Shaped Minnesota Politics is the new book from Klaus Bergman, and he's kind enough to join us today to talk about this book. Mr. Bergman, thank you very much for the time.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
I have to ask the question. Looking at your biography, I'm trying to find how you got interested in Minnesota politics. You've got a heck of a resume here, working in media for many years, working in Washington, D.C. You've worked for World Bank, Yale, Stanford. You're in Los Angeles, I believe, right now. How did you get interested in Minnesota politics?
Well, really, it was as a boy growing up in Stockholm, Sweden. At the time of the Vilhelm Moberg epic stories, novels about Kristina and Karl Oskar in around Chisago Lake as the first Swedish immigrants, and his epic stories really sort of created this interest in immigration, which is still today, as an immigrant myself, a great interest of me, and combining that with politics, which is another big interest of mine. And I discovered that the story of the Scandinavians or Nordic immigrants in Minnesota, which of course was the epicenter for the Nordic immigration to the United States, that their stories about how they got involved in politics, and particularly in Minnesota, is really a story that hasn't been told before. So I started working on this story, and that's how this book came about.
I like the story because there's an element of this book which goes well beyond just the Scandinavians. And it tells the story of how immigrant groups, whether it's the first Europeans that were coming over here in the 1600s, 1700s, to the Scandinavians, to the modern immigrants that are coming over in droves from new countries, how they integrate themselves into community. They become part of the community. They start winning local elections, start becoming local representatives, and gradually work their way up into larger and larger roles in politics. It's a story that has been copied many times in America across the board, and it is the story of what I would like to call kind of successful immigrant communities, where they've been able to come in large droves and be able to bring themselves, keep their own heritage, but bring themselves and bring it into America as well.
Well, you're absolutely right. This is a truly American story. You know, you have before the breakthrough in Minnesota with the first Scandinavian governor, the Norwegian-born Knut Nelson, there were already, you know, hundreds and maybe thousands of lower-level officials, Scandinavian immigrants, who had run for office on the county level or the township level. And then eventually they spread their wings and became statewide, and eventually, of course, became nationwide representatives. And their story is an American story in the way how an ethnic group, and I now talk about the immigrants from the five Nordic countries, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Finland, and Iceland, and how they came over and really became sort of a new political elite, a new political class in Minnesota, and were in leadership for decades, until the last Scandinavian governor Arne Carlson in the 1990s. And the question now, of course, is: Will he be the last Scandinavian governor in Minnesota as Minnesota is changing?
It is. I doubt he will be. I'll go out on a limb on this. What's interesting, going back in the book and going back to the time, okay, one of the things about Minnesota, when 1858 it becomes a state, most of the state, a lot of the initial money leaders within the state were actually East Coast people that had moved out here, a lot of guys from Maine, a lot of guys from Massachusetts, some people from Ohio that had moved to the Minnesota to try to find their fortune, and many of them did. The thing which seems a little bit odd is, as you talk about Knut Nelson, he was, when was it, he went to the U.S. House of Representatives in 1882. It seems like a long time. We have this idea that from the get-go, 1858, that the Scandinavians were basically all in into the government. And it really does point out, your book does show, no, this is a fledgling immigrant community, and it took them quite a few decades to get the traction and start getting people within the positions of power.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But it's important here, since you mentioned the immigrants from eastern United States, the so-called Yankees,
yes,
that they found a bond, the Scandinavians, with the Yankees. They were pro-union, they were anti-slavery, and they were big supporters of education. So you have had three things here which they found in common ground with the Yankees. So they found they became, of course, Republicans also. They were strongly for the Union, and they became Republicans for almost half a century, basically, until they started moving into other political parties and political movements. So they found. So I think it's important to underline also here that the Scandinavians founded, created this bond with the Yankees, and eventually moved on beyond the Yankees. But that during the first sort of 1850s to the end of the 18th century, it was really a Yankee-Scandinavian coalition.
You talk about the stories that you read as a child as you were growing up out there in Sweden. And I guess the question was, when we started seeing the Scandinavian immigrants come into power, was that sort of, did that open the doors? It seems like there might have been almost kind of a, hey, look, we're welcome here. We're part of the community. Get to Minnesota. Did immigration continue to forge forward with the knowledge that the Scandinavian leadership in the government here was actually, you know, once again, it was, you know, our guys are now taking control in Minnesota. So, you know, safe haven sort of thing.
Well, I don't think it was that much so, but it was really Minnesota as an opportunity for poor Scandinavian immigrants, A, to find land through the Homestead Act in 1862, but also to find later on work in the rapidly growing Minnesota economy. So you have two things there. You know, the early immigrants sent letters home and said, look, there's land, there's jobs here, you know, come on over. So it was more that factor than anything else. And you see that, of course, with the new waves of immigrants in Minnesota, the Somalis and the Hmong, you know, they came for work. And, of course, they were encouraged by the early comers that come here. We've been well received and we're eager to get going here. And there are jobs and there are opportunities. So let's come. And, of course, you see that later on with the Somalis, as I write in the book. From Snooze Boulevard to Little Mogadishu in that chapter, how the Somalis now have sort of copied the Scandinavian political handbook and become involved in local politics in Minneapolis.
And very successfully, and they are starting to become a very large force within the political elements, that's for sure. One of the things I found interesting, though, as you talked about the land, I remember, and I think I was at the Minnesota Historical Society, and I should mention Minnesota Historical Society Press puts this book out. I was there, and I can remember reading someone, a Scandinavian, who had made the comment. He says, well, I came here because the last time there was available land for sale in his town where he was from was 500 years ago. There was nothing there. And this,
yes,
this concept of land that you could clear, that you could work, or as you talked about laborers, and you talk about the laboring class quite a bit in the book, the laborers, the fact that we had these jobs with the Minnesota mills and the waterfall here in Minneapolis, starting with the lumber mills and moving into the flour industry, there was ample work. And I mean, it really was, once again, speaking of America and what it represented, the opportunity for advancement, the opportunity for the American dream was being presented there to the Scandinavian cultures.
Yeah, I think that those were the forces that played in here, rather than, you know, that Minnesota had a Scandinavian governor and things like that. But, you know, there was this closeness between Minnesota and the Scandinavian community back in Scandinavia, that sort of the relationship grew with, of course, the thousands and thousands that came over to Minnesota and settled here. But of course, you know, if you were a poor Norwegian or Swedish farmer and you went west out to the Red River Valley and you saw the land and the prairie and all that stuff, you know, you must have gone crazy with you know, let's just stay here and work the land, because they never seen anything like it back home.
Klaus Bergman joining us, Scandinavians in the State House. You have a chapter here where you talk about radicals in exile and how the Scandinavians, I mean, you mentioned they're Republicans, but they were not the modern Republicans. They were the Republicans of the 1800s, where in this love of country, and there was a real socialism vibe that was coming over with them, which really played a major role in the fight for labor here in the state of Minnesota.
Absolutely, you have it both among the Swedes and some of the Norwegians, but particularly among the Finns, who came, of course, to the Iron Range and became strike leaders and socialists, and even, you know, the longtime leader of the American Communist Party came from Cherry, Minnesota, and was a Finnish immigrant family there. So Gus Hall. So, you know, you have lots of ties there. I would like to stress here, however, that, you know, some of these radicals were not really dying to come to America. They were what I would call reluctant immigrants. They were radicals in exile. They were forced, because of their political activities in Sweden and in Finland, to come to America to survive, to find jobs. And Minnesota, America and Minnesota did receive them. So in that sense, you know, they became also strong proponents of their new country in many ways.
Well, and when presented with the labor strife, especially in the early part of the 20th century, they refound themselves. I mean, there seems to be an acceptance of, as you mentioned there, the acceptance of the American situation at that point, and they use their knowledge and their experience in fighting for better rights and better working conditions to help their American brethren, not just the Scandinavians, but all Minnesotans.
Absolutely, and it is sort of a remarkable story that here, particularly the Finns here, took on the leadership in many ways of this struggle. And although many of them spoke poor English, and they sort of were the front line of this fight, you know, and helping, of course, their American working colleagues. So that's a really remarkable story to tell.
The Finns, as a matter of fact, you have a chapter about the Finns up on the range there, and it's interesting because my great-great-grandfather was one of the foremen in the mine up in Virginia, and and McNeil. And they had basically, I mean, that was something which I don't think the mining companies up throughout the range were expecting such a strong, very pro-labor force to come up there, because it really kind of tempered, I think, the difference between a lot of other places in the country in northern Minnesota and why Minnesota still today has got a very blue streak as far as politics goes up there, is the fact that these people went up there, and yeah, these were company towns, and yes, this was hard labor and stuff like that, but they were not about to get pushed around.
Oh, no. They were, you know, they had suffered the civil war back in Finland, and they had the big strike in Stockholm, Sweden, in 1909, when people were blacklisted and basically could not find work anymore. So they were, many of these were really hardened political activists, and they knew what they were doing when they came over to Minnesota, and they continued their political activities and started their newspapers and led, as I said before, the big strikes on the Iron Range in the early 1900s. So these were politically pretty savvy people. There's no question about it.
I will say this, as you said at the beginning of the interview, whether or not there's going to be another Scandinavian governor, I will say so, because we still have people today that try to get listed on ballots with kind of a Scandinavian theme to their name. So there still is today, even though we are a very multicultural state, especially Minneapolis-St. Paul, as far as a major metropolitan city, we still do have this love of the Scandinavian culture, which was some of the first immigrant class that came into the state.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if you know, like, like me, like I, you know, visiting Minnesota a lot in the last 3 or 4 years as I wrote this book and researched this book, you know, you're reminded of Scandinavia and the Nordic cultures all the time, wherever you travel around the state. So it is really part of the fabric of Minnesota. So I think in many ways, you know, you will have new leadership and maybe new governors with Scandinavian surnames. But, you know, they'll be different than the first batch of them, because they will not have been born in the old countries, but they are sort of second and third generation immigrant families. And so they will be sort of Americanized Scandinavians. But I do believe that, and, you know, a lot of the people I talk to for the book believe that Minnesota is on this Scandinavian road and will stay because it's so much part, it's so ingrained in the political culture of the state.
Klaus Bergman, once again, Scandinavians in the State House, How Nordic Immigrants Shaped Minnesota Politics. Not only a great book if your family's from Scandinavian countries or you're a fan of the Scandinavian culture, it's a great book just to understand how the immigrant culture comes in and becomes a driving political force. It's an excellent read. Klaus, thank you very much for the time. Great book. All my best. I'll make sure we link everything up online a little bit later on.
Hey, thank you so much for inviting me. I enjoyed it.
My pleasure. Klaus Bergman, once again, Scandinavians in the State House. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey, Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. Catch me live every weeknight from 5 to 8 p.m. right here on AM 950. Whether it's a recap of the day's news, legal analysis, or teaching civics, justice is always served on the Norman Goldman Show. Today on the show, we're back to our regular schedule in the new year, so we'll have our regular Friday features, but also there is a jobs report for December. I'm sure you know who's going to take credit for the big job numbers.
Don't be rude.
Well, let's see what they are. Do join me live from 5 to 8 p.m. on AM 950.
I've discovered the true test of a vehicle is the road trip. This summer, I bought a new vehicle from Rudy Luther Toyota and immediately took it out on the road to DC and South Carolina. If you drive for 10 hours and you're not tired, that tells you a lot about Toyotas. When you're getting exceptional gas mileage with fewer stops, it tells you a lot about Toyotas. And when you feel safe, even when you're out of your comfort zone, that tells you a lot about Toyotas. It's my highest recommendation. Go to Rudy Luther Toyota and see for yourself at 394 and 169.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, "Where are you?" Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones. Same day, 7 days a week.
Does your basement or crawl space have damp, musty odors? Do you worry about indoor gases and pollutants? Everyday living generates moisture that can nourish mold and odors, even asthmatic triggers. Indoor pollutants linked to respiratory ailments, birth defects, and cancers can become trapped in your home. You can't buy health, but you can buy Wave's moisture control and air quality products. Wave Home Solutions, for a dry, healthy home. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to dryhome123.com. That's dryhome123.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. By the way, go find that book, Klaus Bergman. That is a great book because he does make some very good parallels to the Hmong and the Somali communities and their rise. It's the same exact thing. Although it seems like it took longer for the Scandinavians to get traction. And I wonder if that was as you mentioned, the Yankees, I wonder if it was a threat of the East Coast business people as they had basically, when they came in Minnesota, they were the people in control for a long, long time. Ellie Krug is joining us. Hidden Edges Radio is on Sundays at 1 o'clock. You also have the Ellie 2.0 on Monday mornings, 7:30 to 8. And you've been filling in for McEntee. How's that been going?
It's been very, very much fun. It's been very interesting, and I've been wondering how many listeners we've lost as a result of me filling in.
Oh, great. No. You're fine. No, I mean, is Mike even on the air? We just comes in and does a show, right?
We usually turn the key. He thinks he's talking to people.
McAtee's going to be mad at me. Well, congratulations. You're sounding fantastic. Not undersell yourself. You are sounding fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, you are a tremendously hard act to follow.
I
mean,
my
God, you've got me in stitches. And I'm like, I could never be that smooth. And so, you know, but, you know, on a serious note, this is a relatively new endeavor for me.
Yeah.
And particularly live, because for the most part, my show has been previously taped and then airs on Sundays. But I will tell you, I'm enjoying the heck out of it. Tuesday, which will be my last day of subbing, guest hosting for Mike, we're going to open up most of the show to callers. So if anybody's listening about that, to ask really about any question they want to ask me, I know that because I'm transgender, not that it's all about me, but that sometimes people want to ask questions, that they're interested in stuff like that. And so...
That's the sign, though. Okay, and when you talk about doing this stuff, plenty of people, they fall into it later on. And they find, you know, like, wow, this is great. You're phenomenal. You do a great job with this. And I think that you definitely take the path. There is no mysterious me. This is, you're here. Brett can attest to this. This is me in all my ugly glory, isn't it? I mean, is there anything special about anything? There's no facade here, is there?
No, not at all.
Sorry, were you vomiting in the garbage can? My bad. I'll let you get back to the
vomiting.
I was going to
say, normally you speak with your Edina accent.
Well, how dare you, Sandy? Yeah. How dare you?
Well, but you know, what you strike me as, I mean, it's like you're holding court in the back of a bar. And I think that, you know, there's such a great down-home earthiness to what you do, and I wish I could get there, although I don't know if my business would survive that.
You're doing the right thing, though. I mean, when you put it out there, like, ask questions. I mean, if you want to ask me a question, I'll answer it. I mean, you might not get the answer you like about it, but I mean, it's the honesty and being who you are, I think, is the most important thing about this business. And I've always kind of wondered, because I have been sitting in this industry on a really weird precipice. I started in this business in 1992. I actually started in Armed Forces Radio Network when I was in the military. But I came into broadcasting, went to Brown Tech, went to WGEZ in Beloit, KDAO in Eldora, Marshalltown, KKBJ up in Bemidji, went down to Ames, Des Moines for a few years, then back up to Minneapolis, worked Metro Traffic for many years, worked a few other radio lives before I landed here almost 8 years ago. And in that time, I would say 2/3, maybe 3/4 of all the radio people I have worked with no longer work in the business. And it's because, you know, they've consolidation, they've cut jobs, they've gotten rid of people here. I have just watched since I've been here at AM 950, since 2012, the continuing shuttering of progressive radio stations across the country.
Right.
And the fact that there are fewer and fewer people here. And I got asked, how in the world did we manage to keep on the air and stuff? How do you manage to do that? And I said, because I think you're real. And if you become real, if you're just who you are, I'm not saying that there aren't a lot of great people who are very real that don't work in the business, but I think that if you basically put forward who you are and you never try to hide yourself or disguise yourself, I think that that's what makes you progress pretty well in the business. And that's why I think your show sounded very good.
Well, you know, of course, the backstory is for much of my life I wasn't real because I had to hide about who I was. But I am real now, and I get to live authentically, and I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity to be on the air. So thank you.
No, you just keep kicking ass, and the reason, and it just it's we live in a world which we need to. If we can't be more accepting and more understanding and more humane, we are never going to survive in this country. And the reality is, and we talked about this yesterday, we had Tony Cornish left a letter to the Minnesota House on things he wanted them to oppose. Not things he wanted to champion, not the things that I supported, not the proud list of accomplishment I have. This was a list of things. Here's what you need to oppose. And I said, isn't that the epitome of what the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats are today? Is here's what you have to oppose, is here's what we're going to champion. Look at Governor Dayton championing education. If we don't become more accepting and we don't become more understanding, and if, you know, and frankly, kicking people's doors via their ears, you know, then you know, we're doomed. And so, my God, let's keep yelling as loud as we can about this. Yeah. What do you got coming up today?
Today, we've got a hodgepodge of a lot of different things. I'm going to talk particularly about the issue about Trump competency.
Well, he's not. Okay, end the show. Bye. All right. He's a moron. Ellie Krug, and that's in for McEntee next hour. All my best. We'll talk to you next week as well. Have a great weekend. We are back on a Monday. Until then, see ya.